from 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, welcome to The Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you.
Hello and welcome to The Art of the Matter. I'm Sharon Gamble. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Buscelli Wallerap Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album, available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
And I'm Travis DiNicola. Welcome to our new time for The Art of the Matter. Today I get a preview of the Galax Quartet concert at the Indiana Landmark Center.
I'll find out what they're reading at this year's ANCATS Festival of Books and Art.
And I get to take the pulse of a new ballet created by the Indiana Ballet Conservatory. Plus, there's our arts calendar we call
What'll We Do? All that and more right after the latest news from NPR. The Galax Quartet is coming to town for a contemporary chamber music concert called American Prophets and Revolution at the Indiana Landmark Center. Travis DiNicola spoke by phone with alto Karen Clark and viola da gamba player Roy Weldon about the performance.
Karen, Roy, welcome to Art of the Matter. It's great to have you, even if it's only by phone right now.
All right. Hello, and thank you so much for having us.
Yes, thank you.
Well, you are very welcome. I know there's a lot of people looking forward to the concert in the Grand Hall at the Indiana Landmark Center that's coming up on the 21st.
And we're very excited.
It sounds like just a great evening of music, and I do want to talk about the selections in just a minute, but I'd like to start with actually, if it's my understanding is correct, the Galax Quartet is a little bit different for a string quartet in the way it's made up. Is that correct?
That's right, and it's my instrument, the viola da gamba, which makes it different. The string quartet usually has a viola played under the chin,
mm-hmm.
in that position, but me, I have a viola da gamba, which is played on the leg, as the name implies, gamba meaning leg, and it does play the tenor voice, but it can also play the bass voice as well.
Again, instead of having the viola with the two violins and a cello, it's the viola da gamba. And this is actually a kind of an early version, right, of string quartets, how they used to be formed?
It was an early and short-lived version, probably about two decades at the end of the 18th century when this ensemble existed, and there's even less music than you'd expect in two decades for this instrument. So one of our goals here in the Galax Quartet is to expand the repertoire. That's what we're doing.
Roy, tell me a little bit more about your instrument, the viola da gamba. You said it's played on the leg, hence where it gets its name, but it's also, the sound is a little bit different from a viola, correct?
Yeah. In a word, the gamba, the viola da gamba, is a bowed guitar.
Hmm.
It has a few frets, not as many frets as a guitar, and it does have a bow, but the bow is held underhand as opposed to an overhand grip that all the violins and cellos have. And like a guitar, it's a chordal instrument, or can be a chordal instrument. So those are the big differences between the violin family, which includes the cello, and the viola da gamba.
And Karen, let me ask you: how did you get connected with the Galax Quartet? I mean, you're an alto, and so you're singing with these kind of broke instruments, if you will.
Yeah, I'm a contralto, which is the lowest in terms of the female range of voices. And actually, I've known Roy since I was in college at Indiana University. We met there when Thomas Binkley came to start the Early Music Institute. I was in the opera program, and I also got my master's there, and I sang everything from Brahms' Lieder to appearing in operas of Wagner and other composers like Puccini. I studied with Virginia Zeani, and I just really enjoyed the early music world, having it, it's much more intimate, and the nature of the instruments, much more intimate, and I love poetry, so I really kind of wanted to go more toward what I ended up doing career-wise, was going more into early music because of the poetry and the intimacy of making music in a chamber music setting.
Tell me about the poetry in this particular concert. I was reading through the list of music that's going to be played on the 21st, and there's a lot of work that features Henry David Thoreau, as well as Gary Snyder, the great sort of beat environmentalist poet. There's some other work as well from a Chinese poet. It sounds like a very environmental nature type of theme, if I'm correct.
Oh, it does sound that way. However, the poetry itself does not emphasize the environmental aspect so much. For example, the Henry David Thoreau, this is romantic poetry, mid-19th century poetry.
So nothing to do with Walden at all, then?
Not really, although you can tell that the sensibility that wrote these poems would be the same sensibility that was behind Walden. Yeah.
Well, I think what I know Gary Snyder is sometimes referred to as the ecological poet, right?
Mm-hmm. And, yes.
And we've been working with Gary Snyder's poems since 2008. We actually, some of the music that's on the concert, we premiered with Gary Snyder present and actually introducing the concert and performing with us in San Francisco. That was in 2008. So having lived with Gary Snyder's poetry and then coming to Thoreau and living with that for the past year, I think I understand what you're saying in terms of an environmental nature. There's a respect for nature, and what I learned from Gary Snyder was the sort of Eastern philosophy way of the idea that humans are not separate from nature. And I get that from Henry David Thoreau, you know, being in the transcendentalist way of thinking of there being a certain spirituality about nature. And so I'm really enjoying that juxtaposition of these two American poets of such different eras, if you will.
Karen, was that a little nerve-wracking the first time you performed that with Gary Snyder in the audience?
Just a little bit. we performed, they were all four song cycles were premiered. It was a composer, Fred Frith, Alauddin Matthew, some of Roy's songs, and also Robert Morris. Very difficult music, and I had to clear the decks for like a year and a half to work that and get it up and get it up to speed. And I'm happy to say that Gary Snyder was very pleased. So that was a thrill for me. And I have a whole file of his letters that I keep, and my Gary Snyder file. because he really seemed to enjoy the concert, and it turned out it was very cool, I must say.
Now, and just to be clear, because I haven't heard this music yet that you'll be performing, the poems that are being used, are they sung? Are they more spoken word? Or how does that work within the music?
Oh, they're sung.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, they really, and in fact, with each composer, they asked me information about the contralto voice, and there are certain ways of approaching the phrasing and range, and where text is most easily understood. And each of them did a great job. I think, of course, in setting the poems, all of them were, at least on our CD, well, we did release a CD in 2011, On Cold Mountain, Songs on Poems of Gary Snyder, and you can hear that. It's available on iTunes and Amazon.com and other CD Baby, other website areas, and also it's on the Innova label.
Okay.
They did a great job. They were all fans of Gary Snyder, and they did a really good job. And so As has Joseph Schwantner with
Henry David Thoreau. Tell me a bit about the Schwantner piece. You referred to this earlier, the song cycle, Dream Drapery. Schwantner, of course, is the Pulitzer Prize-winning composer. This piece was actually commissioned by you, correct?
Yes, by us, and I'll let Roy speak to that, Meet the Composers of the USA Composers Forum.
Yeah, a good part of the commission fee was put up by Meet the Composers, or it's changed its name, Commissioning USA. Now, yeah.
And when did that? When did you commission the piece from Schwantner?
Well, we started talking about it 2 years ago, mm-hmm. at least 2 years ago. And at first, I asked Joseph Schwantner if he were interested in setting some Gary Snyder text. And he responded enthusiastically about writing for us, but he said that he was into Henry David Thoreau lately, and that was his choice of lyricist. And he actually began writing last spring.
Mm-hmm.
That was the slot that he had available to work on this song cycle, and he worked the entire summer on it, and we're actually putting the finishing touches on it as we speak.
Oh, so is this the debut of this piece then? Is that?
Yes, it is. It's the premiere. It'll be the very first public performance. Yeah.
Wow, I did not realize that. Well, that's very exciting then.
Yeah, and we're very excited. Joseph Schwantner will be there, and we're doubly excited because we get to rehearse with him the day before the concert.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's always a real treat in
Treat?
Well, yeah, to bring these creative projects to life, you know. You start with an idea, you don't know how it'll turn out, and then you all come together and...
Yeah, it is a treat, but it's a little scary, too, when you're actually faced there with the composer.
Well, it must be a bit of a treat, if you will, to be doing this back in Indiana, since both of you had gone to school at IU, and so you're
coming
back.
And actually, I was born in Indiana.
Okay.
I was born in Hammond, Indiana, so I'm a Hoosier, and I'm really excited because I'll have a lot of friends and family in the audience.
Sure,
so
of course.
It's for me a real momentous occasion to be coming back and getting to perform at Indiana Landmarks. I'm real excited.
One of our violinists, David Wilson, went to school in Bloomington as well. So
excellent.
Homecoming for him.
Yeah, and of course the Indian Landmark space is just gorgeous. And
we've heard. I haven't been there yet, and I'm very excited.
Beautiful concert hall, and the sound will be tremendous, I have no doubt. Well, this is it's a treat for all of us, and I want to thank you both, Karen Clark and Roy Weldon from the Gaelics Quartet. Looking forward very much to the concert on the 21st. And thanks again so much for your time today.
Thank you, Travis. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Travis.
Travis DiNicola with alto Karen Clark and viola da gamba player Roy Weldon from the Gaelics Quartet. Their concert, American Prophets and Revolution, will take place at 3 p.m. on Sunday, October 21st, in the Grand Hall at the Indiana Landmark Center. For more information, visit indianalandmarks.org.
These 30 long years slowly consumed like fire down a candle, forever flowing like a passing river, forever flowing like a passing. Thank you.
You're listening to The Art of the Matter on WFYI 90.1 FM Public Radio.
The JCC's 14th Annual ANCATS Festival of Books and Arts is chock full of activities for young and old, including an appearance by best-selling author and screenwriter Delia Ephron, a day of play, a two-day yoga workshop, concerts, satire, award-winning films, and nonfiction, and, well, even more. So, Sharon Gamble invited Larry Rothenberg, Director of Adult Education for the JCC, to tell us more about this three-week celebration of the mind and body.
Larry, before we talk about some of the festival events, I want you to remind me of how the ANCATS Festival of Books and Arts started out 14 years ago, a decade and a half almost.
Well, 14 years ago, you know, we recognized that in the community there was an opportunity for really for people to hear authors and people to get more involved in reading. And so that was really the genesis of the ANCATS Festival of Books and Arts. And we were fortunate that, you know, we received a generous grant from Irv Katz in the name of his wife, who unfortunately had died, who was a great supporter of the arts and especially of reading and literacy.
What a nice tribute to keep that going year in and year out. So I want you to talk about how universal this event is and multicultural this event is, because I think sometimes people think, it's at the JCC, they're, you know, I'm not Jewish, or maybe I'm not welcome. They shouldn't think that, but sometimes people do. So
yes,
let's disabuse that.
This event is for everybody. It's for the entire community. We have programs for children. We have programs for the golden agers. We have
What's that?
Well, that's always a hard term, isn't it? Because I fall into that.
You're golden age if you think you are, huh?
Exactly. we've got political writings. We've got religious writings, and not just about Judaism, just all across the board. You know, we've got humor. We've got, two different musical groups coming in. We've got films. So it's absolutely open to the whole community. In fact, we recently did a study, and we pull people really from all around central Indiana.
Oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Not just Indianapolis.
Exactly.
Oh, good to know. And though it is a festival of reading primarily, it's somewhat expanded. I've watched this expand over the years to include more of the arts. There's a yoga workshop. There are films. There are musical experiences, workshops, and so forth. Why did you expand from books?
It was just a natural progression. People love art, and we always had an art gallery showing as part of it. And this year we've got another wonderful one, which is Books as Art, which is along with the book program of Heron School of Art and Design. People love music, they love film, and it just fits together. And it just kind of naturally expanded itself, really.
Sure. It's kind of like people who like sports usually like football and basketball and soccer and
that's
et cetera.
Right.
So, yeah, it seems like a natural continuum there. You have kind of a keynote session, a big opening night with a person who might be the best known of the authors and artists that you're inviting in this year. Let's talk about her.
Yes, Delia Ephron, one of the Ephron sisters, is a screenwriter. She's written such films as Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants. She's a novelist, and she's also just a really neat lady. I had an opportunity to meet her in New York City. We were so thrilled to get her, and what really excites me is her book is really good. It's fun. It's insightful. It's just a great book, and this is something that we invite people. We invite book clubs to, we call it a community reads. We invite book clubs and everybody else, they can actually come to the JCC, purchase the book right now at a discount, get a free ticket to go see Delia, and that way when she talks, she will be aiming her discussion more at people who have actually read the book, which she certainly appreciates it, and it makes it so much more fun.
Sure, and that's a great community service, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that book clubs can come and take advantage of a discount and take advantage of the opportunity to go beyond wherever they normally meet, the library, community room where they meet, the living room where they meet. Now they're going to meet other people who are reading the same thing.
Exactly. Yeah. And once again, it's not just for book clubs either. It's for really all readers.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk for a minute. You mentioned briefly the Heron School of Art and Design, Heron Makes Books exhibit. Not everybody knows that Heron has a book arts program, and that might seem a little, in a world of e-readers. I'm interviewing an author in a few weeks who is publishing his book only as an e-book, and, just as people a few decades ago said, radio would be over by the year 2000. Mm-hmm. Book design, old-fashioned books, I'm not talking about on your computer or your Nook or your Kindle, folks. I'm talking about the kind you hold in your hands. That's still alive.
Yes, but these are not really old-fashioned books.
You're right. That's true.
This is one of our most fun gallery shows that we have all year. These are books. Some of the books hang from ceilings. Some of the books you read with telescopes. I mean, the concept is to take the idea of a book, and the content is important, but what these students do is just amazing. They just get so incredibly creative, and people love it.
And what if a book didn't look like what you just pictured when I said something you hold in your hands?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
A lot of fun. How did yoga creep into the offerings?
Well, Maida Haya Herschel actually grew up in Lafayette, and she has written a very good book. And this has been verified to me by people who know yoga much, much better than I do. And so she's eager. We actually had her for a brief workshop last year, but she's coming back for an entire weekend. And she'll be doing a workshop that's actually good for CLU hours. So we expect many yoga trainers to come and appreciate. She's a very high-level yoga expert, and she's just a wonderful person. She just has that peacefulness that just is all that we all want to get.
And her workshop is in part about self-acceptance, about understanding your body and accepting
Absolutely.
The body that you are walking around in right now.
And loving it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of acceptance, talk to me about Eric Weiner and Man Seeks God.
Oh, this is a marvelous book. I so much enjoyed this book. Basically, it starts with Eric Weiner at a fairly young age goes to the hospital and thinks he's going to die. Mm. And I don't remember the details, but the important thing is that a nurse at that point looks down at him and said, "Have you found your God?"
Oh.
When he gets out of the hospital, he realizes that he is not. So he goes in depth and looks at six different religions, some of them well-known, some of them not known at all. And he comes up with a book that is not only fun and humorous, but deeply insightful. And I just really enjoyed this book.
And maybe a little inconclusive. I remember hearing Terry Gross's interview with him where she kind of put him on the spot and said, and he refused to answer, leaving it wide open for you to interpret whatever your view of the universe is. David Haverbaum.
It's actually David Javerbaum.
How did that happen?
I don't know.
Okay. David Javerbaum.
David has won 11 Emmy Awards as the head writer and the head producer of The Daily Show with Jon Stewart. On the other hand, this particular book, he's more in the background because the name of the book, of course, is...
The Last Testament, A Memoir by God?
A Memoir by God.
Oh.
So David Javerbaum's, as important as David Javerbaum is, actually God is the writer. And it kind of starts out with the publisher coming to God and saying, "Hey, God, you've time to write another book." And God said, "What do you mean? I've got three bestsellers out." And the publisher said, "That's very true, but you haven't written anything for 1,400 years. So hence, The Last Testament. And it's a fun book, and I'm told that he is just a real character. I know he's a real character. I actually follow him on Twitter. And I'm told he's just great with an audience. I think this is going to be a big one.
Okay, that explains why he's able to write and produce for the Daily Show.
Yes.
Yeah, that makes good sense. From God, we're going to take a U-turn right into the heart of politics because, you know, we are right in the middle of an election season during this year's festival. Tell me about the last great Senate, courage and statesmanship in times of crisis. This is such a big topic.
It is a big topic, and it shows that it's possible. This talks about the Senate of the 60s and 70s when people were actually willing to make decisions that perhaps weren't the best for them personally because they knew it was the best for the country.
Hmm.
When senators worked across party lines, and it just points out, you know, it's a historical book, it's a political book, it's a book that's just very well written. And it points out what we had and also kind of talks about how we've gotten where we are right now.
And how we might go back to?
It certainly gives us some hope.
That
yes.
kind of aesthetic. And the author of the book, Ira Shapiro, will be in conversation with Dr. Pierre Atlas, director of the Luger Franciscan Center for Global Studies at Marion University. Most of our listeners will probably know him from his contributions to the Indianapolis Star. So.
Yes, and the two of them have already been in conversation, and they seem to just be hitting it off very well. So I think it's going to be a very meaningful discussion that the two of them have.
Sure. We've been talking about a lot of grown-up, serious topics here, but I want to point out that this is a family-friendly series of events. You probably wouldn't want to take your five-year-old to the talk we just talked about. And by the way, we'll give you the website in a minute where you can find out days and times and all the details for all of these things we've been talking about. But there's some playfulness involved in this year's Ann Katz Festival of Books.
Oh,
and
there's so much.
And some stuff for kids.
Absolutely. You know, we have our Day of Play, and our Day of Play has many components. We've got Play With Your Food, where our nutritionalists will be working with kids and parents, making quesadillas with some healthy, fun food. Her goal is to show kids and parents that you can eat healthy, but it can be a lot of fun. Introduce them to new foods. We are partnering with VSA, which is Play With Art, and VSA is actually bringing a very special piece of equipment that was created for special needs children, and it's where you actually paint, in effect, with a wheelchair. A roller is attached to the front of a wheelchair,
really?
And everybody's going to have an opportunity to create a very large piece of artwork through that. And it's going to be wonderful. This whole event is special needs friendly, but also all kids friendly, all family friendly.
Sure.
We're having Rick Recht, who's presented by Indianapolis Hebrew Congregation, who is just a wonderful musician. He's going to be there. And then we are also having Play With Movement, which are various different wonderful movement activities that once again are aimed at all needs. And so that's going to be fun. We have Guy Mendelo, who is actually coming. He's going to be putting on a wonderful concert. The Guy Mendelo Ensemble was rated the number one world music ensemble in Boston. And if you've been to Boston, that is a hotbed of world music.
Yeah.
So they're coming to do a wonderful concert. And then the next morning, they're going to do a children's workshop based on stories and music. And that's open to all children, primarily, ages probably about, 3 to 9.
You're offering something else for families in conjunction with Indie Reads and the Junior League, which is a family literacy workshop. Tell us about that. What are you going to accomplish with that? What is the idea?
Well, literacy is actually, of course, the base of so much of what we do. I mean, it's so important. And so this is a workshop that is aimed at parents of preschoolers through third graders. And the idea is to teach the parents, the fundamentals of what they can do to have their children be more successful at reading, which, of course, establishes success in so many of life's skills.
So a way to get in at the very beginning, long
yes.
before the schools have a chance to take a part.
Yes, and this event, as well as all of our children's events, are actually free.
fantastic. Larry, what's your favorite kind of material to read? I know you don't have much time right now because you're in the thick of getting ready for this festival, but when you have a little downtime, what are you going to reach for to read?
It's so hard to say. My favorite kind of material is good writing. That's really what it comes down to. I probably lean a little bit more towards philosophical type books. I like religious readings. But, you know, good writing is the key. I just glow when I read a book that's well written.
Sharon Gamble with Larry Rothenberg, Director of Adult Education for the JCC. The JCC will host the Ann Katz Festival of Books and Arts October 24th through November 17th. For more information and to purchase tickets, you can visit jccindy.org. Again, that's jccindy.org. Or you can call 251-9467 for more information.
Hey, Travis, do you know what's at the very top of our What'll We Do list this week before any of our listeners go out and enjoy arts events?
I'm thinking, does it have to do with a phone number?
I think it
does. I've got a vision of a 1-800 number.
Yes. And are the other seven digits, what are they?
Let's see, 1-800-233-0020.
That's exactly right.
Oh,
ding, ding,
gosh.
Ding, ding, ding. Yay!
And what do you get when you call
you
that number,
get to,
Sharon?
You get to feel like you're doing your part. You're pledging your support for WFYI.
Do we have those Sharon and Travis bobbleheads yet for a thank you
gift?
You
know, if we do, they'll be mentioned on our safe, secure website, WFYI.org.
Yeah, check it. I haven't seen them yet.
I haven't either.
Yeah, I haven't even heard the rumors. I'm just making it up. But seriously, if you are listening right now and you like Art of the Matter, then please know that it is your support that makes it happen. You've already chosen to listen to us. Now we're asking you to join us in membership, because your dollars make great local programs like Art of the Matter and all the other great programs here on WFYI possible.
Absolutely. And we know who you are, and if you don't call in your pledge of support, we're gonna follow Ira Glass's lead, and we're gonna call you up.
Knocking on your door.
Exactly right. So anyway, after you've done that, after you've called in your pledge of support, here are some things you can enjoy.
Well, hold on, let's give them that number one more time.
1-800-233-0020.
There you go.
Or WFYI.org.
There you go. Okay, and you ready now?
Yes.
For that calendar we call?
What'll we do? What do you have?
There we go. Family Fun Day out at Big Cars Service Center.
I love that.
Yeah, this is going to be a great day. This is a huge event coming up on Saturday, October 20th. It starts at 11 a.m. They've got music. They've got a bounce house. They've got animals and clowns and food trucks and story time and art and natural hair care and a pizza oven and face painting as well. Oh, my.
You can meet the chickens.
You can meet the chickens.
Who will not be allowed in the bounce house, I'm told.
This is going to be fun stuff. This is out at the Service Center, which is, of course, out on Lafayette Road, 38th Street. Great community arts center that Big Car runs. You can bring a can of food for the Gleaners Food Bank, and they're having this event that's going on all day. How'd you know about the chickens?
I've met them.
Yep. They have service resident service center chickens, but they're
they
not.
They do, and they have a very sassy little chicken.
Letting
coop
them
too.
into the bounce
they're
house.
They're not
which
in
is
the bounce
the
house.
Coop. But they will have story time. Great event all day long, and then in the evening they've got a couple really fun things going on as well. 8 p.m. they are going to have. It's obviously a family fun day, but then it gets a little bit mature in the evening with the jazz pop Euro funk group Tonus Triad, who I love. Great group, a lot of fun, and they're also going to be playing with the occasional noise band Shiny Black Shirt in a duel in an improvised spooky soundtrack to a silent movie, the 1920 version of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. And then there's going to be a performance followed by a screening of 1931's Dracula with Bela Lugosi with a soundtrack from Philip Glass as performed by the Kronos Quartet. So that sounds like a hoot, too. What a great day.
Get a sitter for the evening, and there'll be some adult beverages around at the nighttime with the movie showings and so forth. Exactly.
Great way to spend the day.
Indeed. And that's, again, October 20th. This Saturday, October 13th, from 9 to 9, that's 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., you heard about this on a recent edition of The Art of the Matter, you can enjoy the 3rd Annual Indianapolis Scottish Highland Games and Festival. It's at Don't be confused. It's at German Park. It's a Scottish festival. It's at German Park. It's okay. They're playing nicely together. It's just fine. The highlight of the event, well, it depends on your perspective. You might prefer the whiskey tastings if you're of age, of course.
Easy
but
for you, son.
I have not been tasting them. Really, I haven't. Not yet, anyway. But there are the games of the title of the event, including caper toss and lots more. They're actually very rigorous athletic events, and they play by the rules, the international rules. There are athletic events for women as well as men, and there are family-friendly events. There's a Scottish market, so you can shop. And there are eight Celtic bands, including Seven Nations, the Kells Band, Highland Rain, R-E-I-G-N, of course, Drunk and Sailor, Ken McGee, and as they say, many more. That's at German Park this Saturday, 9 to 9.
Much, much more. Mm-hmm. If you love music of the 40s, swing music like Glenn Miller and the Dorsey Brothers, Artie Shaw, Benny Goodman, then you want to go check out In the Mood. It's a 1940s musical review taking place this Sunday, October 14th at 3 p.m. up at the Palladium. Should be a ton of fun. Definitely worth checking out. You can get more information at InTheMoodLive.com.
Speaking of In the Mood, I am often in the mood for a film, especially a life-affirming film, and that's exactly what the Heartland Film Festival serves up. Their big opening night event is this coming Thursday, the 18th, at the Toby at the Indianapolis Museum of Art. And then all bets are off. You better not sleep much, because through the 27th, there are just tons and tons of great films. They're often films you might not have heard about or might thought you'd never get to see in Indianapolis. So you can find out more at heartlandfilmfestival.org, heartlandfilmfestival.org.
If you're into all things mod, or at least mid-century modern, and who isn't these days, right? Well, the mid-century modern architecture tour, it's a pop-up mod tour, is taking place next weekend on October 20th from 2 to 5 p.m. It's sponsored by Indiana Modern, which is a committee of Indiana landmarks, and it begins on the southeast quadrant of Monument Circle. Again, starts at 2 o'clock, and it's a walking tour to check out all of the mid-century modern buildings that are downtown, and there's a lot of them. There's some really cool ones, in fact, that are worth checking out. I'm not going to give it away. I'm just going to say, just go down there and check it out.
It's a surprise.
It's a surprise. So you can always get more information at Indiana Landmarks about the pop-up tours.
Hence the pop-up part, right? Mm-hmm. Hey, Echoing Scare. Ooh. Thank you. You do the best scary laugh. You're not really that scary in real life, but on the radio, I'm just saying. On October 30th at 7 o'clock at the DeHaan Fine Arts Center at the University of Indianapolis, Echoing Air, which is a local professional early music ensemble, will be joined by students from the U of I, Butler, and Marion, as well as North Central, Hamilton, Southeastern, and Cathedral High Schools, and Second Presbyterian Church. They're all joining together for an atmospheric concert, and again, it's called Echoing Scare. It's on October 30th at 7 o'clock at the DeHaan Center at the University of Indianapolis. Get a little mood music for the holiday.
Hey, something that is worth doing if you're looking for a little road trip, especially now that the leaves are changing, is going down to Brown County for the Backroads of Brown County Studio Tour. It's taking place every day in October because it's a free self-guided tour, and you can get a great map that has signs to all the places that you want to go and all the studios and places, somewhere you can throw a pot or meet with artists and visit in people's home studio locations. If you go to Brown County StudioTour.com. Again, Brown County StudioTour.com, and you can get all the information.
You know, that's so funny because I have Brown County on my list for a road trip as well, but for a little bit different reason. Speaking of getting in the mood for those holidays that come at the end of October and early November, mm-hmm. and that is to say Halloween and Day of the Dead, you can participate in two theme events in Brown County. One is Zippin' Zombies. You know, they have a zip line now. All the cool kids are getting zip lines.
All the zombies have zip lines.
All the zombies have zip lines, just saying. As well as Terrifying Trail and Horrifying Hike.
Wow.
I can't do the scary voice, but you get the idea. Whoa. So you can take in the beautiful foliage during the day, but be aware that there are some scary critters out on the trail, and there might be some zombies zipping overhead.
Cool. Hey, last thing I've got is down at IU, especially if you're going down there to Brown County, the IU Opera Theater is presenting a brand new production of The Merry Widow, and the performances are next weekend only from the 18th through the 21st at the Musical Arts Center, and you can get more information if you go to the IU website and look up Opera Theater, and they've got all that down there. Sharon,
fantastic.
You got one last thing?
I have one last thing. The 30th annual juried show of the Watercolor Society of Indiana will open at the IMA this Sunday, October 14th. And there were 52 paintings submitted and 11 paintings won prizes amounting to more than $9,000. So they probably will include some painters that you know. So the Watercolor Society of Indiana show at the IMA opening this Sunday.
Cool. And yeah. We'll be back next week with more on that calendar we call.
What'll we do?
You're listening to The Art of the Matter, a weekly show about the arts in Indianapolis and Central Indiana. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. If your arts organization has an event or activity of which you think we should be aware, please contact us at least 3 weeks in advance. You can write us at The Art of the Matter, care of WFYI, 1630 North Meridian Street, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46202. Or you can email us at artofthematter@wfyi.org. You can also hear The Art of the Matter on wfyi.org.
What happens when you cross ballet with percussion? Well, that's exactly the question that Alonia Yakovleva, artistic director of the Indiana Ballet Conservatory, set out to answer with the new ballet she calls Pulse, Dancing to the Beat of Our Own Drummer. Travis DiNicola talked with Alonia as well as Missy Rust from the IBC and guest percussionist Daryl Randall about the show.
Alonia, Missy, Daryl, welcome to Art of the Matter. Great to have the three of you in our studio today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Travis.
This is fun. This is exciting. Alonia, I am thrilled for you. When I heard about this piece, I mean, bringing together percussion with ballet and you creating this, you know, original new piece, I thought, what fun. I mean, this is a very exciting thing for the company to be doing, for the school to be doing. How did this come about for you?
Well, it's a lot more difficult than I was assuming it will be because mm-hmm. it's a lot of work, but it's so excited. It's a lot of energy right now going on, a lots of hours of rehearsals. We combine different levels of drums and percussionists, like percussion music, you know, with different contemporary choreography. Some of contemporary choreography, actually, it's from IBC award-winning repertoire, and some it's completely original and new. Mm-hmm. A project will be, it's a completely new project, and be excited. It's actually a production. It's about power of the dream and creative mind.
Of the dream, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and it's like musicians inspiring dancers and dancers inspiring musicians.
Now, part of this, though, came out of a couple of your students, right, who are also mm-hmm. drummers? Is that
yes.
sort of what started this whole process?
Exactly. I have I learned about that actually last year, but I have...
Yeah.
A little 9-year-old Ethan Holder. He's an amazing young student, great dancer. I learned about him last year. He's a great drummer as well.
Okay.
So I was like, I was curious, interesting. That's really excited. And then I learned that my 14-year-old student, Alex Ray, he's a great dancer, and he actually our graduator this year. He's as well as percussionist. So mm-hmm. I'm like, fantastic. And then I have that amazing talent, Daryl Randall. He is a participant of the acclaimed NAMM show in Chicago, very famous, popular show. And his talent is inspiring, like, all of us. So I cannot do anything about that. I have to create new, excited show.
So Daryl, let me ask you, when Alonia called you up and said, are you interested in being part of this, what were your first thoughts?
It actually, I stepped back a little bit. I'm mm-hmm. like, ballet, as you said.
Mm-hmm.
Percussion. And I got to thinking about it. This could work. And actually being at her studio, seeing the kids' faces light up when they hear the music that they're dancing to and the drummings and the percussion.
Sure.
Everybody's just ecstatic about it.
I mean, obviously, rhythm, the beat is a big part of dance. generally, but you know, often, but with ballet, we think of such, you know, melodic movement and lovely romantic movement, and not necessarily that hard pounding type of, you know, movement that you'd associate with percussion. But
exactly.
Yet, but it sounds like everyone just like, no, wait, this makes sense.
It brings out a lot of spirit out of each individual.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, outside of the Nutcracker, Phantom of the Opera, we have Pulse.
Pulse.
And it brings it back.
Who came up with the name Pulse?
I think as staff, as a team, because we was debating and we was thinking what would be, okay, drums, percussion, ballet, what would be the best idea, what would be the best name, and it's a Pulse because this production, it's also have storyline behind. It's about life. It's about a little boy dream who wanna be a percussionist and little girl dream who wanna be ballerina. It's a lot of happiness, cry, it's a lot of disappointment and a lot of encouragement. It's about life.
True stories.
Yeah.
All around.
Missy, let me ask you, how fun has this been to work on from your perspective? I mean, it sounds like I bet the students are just loving this.
The students are having a blast with this. And I have to say, I've not had the opportunity to see this unfold as much. I'm kind of behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And this last Saturday, I had the joy to be able to be in the studio to take photographs. And I'm not exaggerating when I say I was bouncing up and down on a chair as I was taking pictures, because you can't help but move. You want to move with this music. She's picked out some fantastic music. I know Daryl helped with that. And the kids' faces are lighting up in between each song. The kids are sitting around the room watching everyone dance. No one's running out of the room to change clothes. They want to stay there and be a part of this. So as a audience member myself, I'm really excited to bring family and friends to come to see this. It's a family-friendly event that really kind of takes something like ballet and brings it to the mainstream here in Indiana.
Now, tell me about the dancers who are participating in this. These are all students who are part of the conservatory?
They are, ages 10 to 17.
Okay.
As she mentioned, one of our graduates is being featured in this, as well as one of our youngest male students that's being featured as well. And she's just chosen some different works that she wanted to get out there and showcase. And a lot of these works were also choreographed by Sergei Sergeyev, one of our other faculty members as well. It's amazing to be able to watch. I didn't think, you've got to understand from a staff perspective, when we sit around and hear Alona say, this is what I'm thinking about doing this year. I have learned to not even utter a word, to just go with it, because she's proven that some of the craziest ideas work.
Oh.
And it's a lot of fun to be able to be a part of that. And you want to work really hard to help promote these events, and you want to bring the community at large into this, because there's no other way to see stuff that is so amazing and enthusiastic and energizing as these types of dance pieces. It's exciting.
And how big's the cast that's being featured?
About 30 students.
About 30 students? Mm-hmm. And it sounds like you've been getting a lot of great support from the parents as well and your other supporters.
Yes, the community at large. We've been so excited about the media and the way you have responded as well, and we're so grateful to be here today for that.
Sure.
But a lot of the community members and philanthropists and people in the area, they know about Alona's history and what she produces, and because of that, we're able to kind of step outside the box and do some different things, because we know we'll be supported, because they know it'll be a quality piece.
So, Alona, let me ask you, in working with your students on this, what has been the most challenging part? Because it sounds like you're throwing a lot of new stuff at them.
It's true that, believe it or not, most challenging things it was timing and schedule, because we're working right now in the three different tracks. We work already, we rehearsing for Nutcracker, we have our observations week and classes schedule, and we already start preparing for larger pre-professional ballet.
So you guys are pretty busy right now anyway.
Yes.
So to be adding on a new piece.
Yes, it's schedule, but I have to say the students was the greatest.
Yeah.
Their commitment and dedication was complete. And they, you know, they still students, but they doing the best things they can.
And are they challenged by, I mean, a different, it's obviously more of a contemporary ballet style as opposed to a classical. The music's obviously different. I mean, it's got to challenge them to some extent, especially the ones that are maybe more used to a traditional approach.
Of course. It's different, but our students, my program, our program in a school, we have a modern jazz and contemporary classes. It's in our schedule. So, of course, that aspect helping to create this production. Students really excited. They know that move, they know that technique, because one of the kaleidoscope dancers, they teaching, so they aware of this modern technique, even jazz, and mm-hmm. we working with classical contemporary ballet in that
yes.
production.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And now the piece is going to be performed at the Toby. That's mm-hmm. sort of your performance home, right?
Yes, and we love it.
So happy there.
It's a good place for you to be. Now tell me, remind me again, where does the company call home for your classes and things like that?
We're at the 849 West Carmel Drive location in mm-hmm. Carmel. Our intersection is Hancock Street and Carmel Drive. And actually, while we're here, I'd love to be able to tell you that we're even accepting students throughout the year ongoing, and we are still taking students and putting them in our Nutcracker if they'd like to be.
Oh, that's
part
great.
Of our curriculum. Mm-hmm. So our faculty feels very strongly that that's an important part of the curriculum, as well as your average classes that you have every day. So, yeah, we'd love
to. So, of course, if you're a parent listening right now and your child's thinking about getting involved in dance, and then it'd be terrific to take them to Pulse and see if it seems like something you'd be interested in, then maybe sign up for classes and get involved with Nutcracker or whatever else.
Absolutely. We welcome people to do that. That's usually how most of our students start, is by seeing a production and getting excited and enthusiastic about dance.
Very good. Very good. Hey, Alonia, I'll let you have the last word here. Anything else you want to share about this? Because I know you're very excited about this piece. Anything you want to make sure that our listeners understand about it before they come see it?
Well, like I already mentioned, this is no matter if you like dance or you like music or a boss, this production delight in audience of all age. So it's
okay.
will be, yes, we have a top hits from yesterday and today, as well as a completely different choreography than Nutcracker, and I love that about our students and faculty, because this is, of course, it's not classical ballet, it's completely different, and we want to share this with our audience, but we can do both. We can do that classical ballet and contemporary with the best percussionist music, with best percussionist and drums, and do something completely outside of the box, new, never been done before in Indianapolis. It is exciting, so please come to see us.
Very good, very good. Well, I thank the three of you, Missy, Alonia, and Daryl. Thanks so much for coming into Art of the Matter today.
Thank you, Travis,
thank
for
you
having
so
us.
Thank you.
Travis DiNicola with the Indiana Ballet Conservatory's Alonia Yakovleva, Missy Rust, and Daryl Randall. Their new ballet, Pulse, Dancing to the Beat of Our Own Drummer, will take place at 2 and 7 p.m. on Saturday, October 20th at the IMA's Toby Theater. For more information, visit IndianaBalletConservatory.org. Again, IndianaBalletConservatory.org. Thanks for joining us today. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Buselli Wallerab Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album, available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
Please listen to The Art of the Matter next week at our new time, Thursdays at 8 p.m. and Saturday at 7 a.m., when I get a preview of the Actors Theater of Indiana's production of Route 66.
I'm going to borrow a convertible for that.
All right.
I'll learn about the Indianapolis Symphony Orchestra's educational outreach programs.
And then I'll chat with author John Green. Plus, we'll have that calendar of events we call
What'll
We
Do? So please listen next weekend to The Art of the Matter here on WFYI for your information.
You've been listening to The Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you. The Art of the Matter. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. Today's Art of the Matter was produced and edited by Travis DiNicola. The Art of the Matter on 90.1 FM, Indianapolis.